Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Boss Wars Podcast, a great place to play games and be better. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Deering, and alongside me, as always, is the PC Muscle Race, LaRon Dawkins.
What's poppin'?
The wise Wisconsinite, Mr. Jesse Douglas.
How's it going, everyone?
And joining us tonight from PlayStation's Crossroads Podcast, the Vita Warrior.
Himself. Vita de Mayo. Right.
the life warrior? Oh yeah. There you go.
I stay strapped with the Vita. 100%.
Just go to the social media. You'll understand. Go to the social media.
Got the gal gun panties holstered up, ready to go.
Now, are you wearing those right now, or do you just have them in your pocket in case you need a quick sniff?
I keep it by my bed in the drawer right with Vita at all times. It's like it's ready to go, you know.
It's the Vita, the gal gun panties, and the lotion all right there. It's just nice, one neat.
Not a lotion guy. I like it. Just like every other. It's hard being a Vita fan, so it's rough. So I like to use no lotion, just to mimic it.
Do you raw dog into this stuff? I mean, that's just dangerous. You got to think about potential skin cancer issues.
Ooh, Logan.
I use moisture. I use Germex on my hands. It's fine.
Joining us is Justin Bieber's illegitimate adopted.
You can't even say that anymore. Love, I don't have the hair.
Love cousin.
I don't have the hair.
You do. He cut his hair. You just saw him in a magazine.
No, he's got long hair. He wears a beanie now. I do have a beanie.
It's Land
I'm
Party.
Not wearing.
It's Land Party, the musical, the series, the musical.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. I can live with that.
Logan,
Juan has got it.
Logan, where's Land Party, the musical, the series?
So we're writing it.
Land Party, the musical, the musical, the series.
And by we, he means himself and only himself.
Yeah, in my closet is where I write that one.
Logan, is this going to be like a? Is this going to be like one of those musicals where you play every single part?
I do, and it's amazing because Austin and Nick have a love scene, and I can't figure out how to choreograph it the right way.
I got it, Logan. Sock puppets.
I could do that. And then they could, like... But is that too far?
Wow.
Austin, you might want to
talk. I just don't know if you can get your hand out of the sock after you're done with it.
It's going to be like a Krusty Krab, man. I mean, that's essentially what it is. SpongeBob reference that you guys would love.
Oh my god.
I don't even know what.
No, that's not a SpongeBob reference that I love.
That is not a SpongeBob reference at all.
No.
We wish that it were, but it isn't.
Krusty, listen, Mr. Krabs was a great dad, okay? He does not deserve that slander on Father's Day. He took care of a whale, for crying out loud.
Is that what we call Patrick? I mean, I don't know.
Get out of here, you uncultured swine. Get out of here.
All I know is about Bubble Buddy. That's it, man. I mean, look, he asked me anything about iCarly, Zach and Cody. That's what I was watching.
Still iCarly.
Still watching iCarly, apparently. Still loving it. Poor Freddie. He went through two divorces, man.
You see that there that show's coming back?
Spoilers.
It's already back.
That's
all it is.
Yeah. First three episodes are out. It's pretty good. Might be a review in Boss Rush Entertainment here in 3 weeks.
Oh god. So hi guys. So last weekend was E3, obviously, and we're gonna talk about some stuff that we really enjoyed from E3.
Oh wait! Before we get to that, hey Corey,
huh?
Hey Jesse, happy Father's Day!
Oh, thanks, LaRon.
Yeah,
Austin, happy dog Father's Day.
Yep, doggy daddy day.
Like I hate it so much. I hate that he called me that because I hate it when people are like, oh yeah, my dog is just like a kid. I'm like, no, it's not.
It's going to get a lot weirder. Trust me, the first draft of that tweet was a lot weirder.
I'm sure it was.
I'm sure the first five drafts of that tweet were a lot weirder.
Yeah.
So
boys and girls, it goes deeper. Jeez.
God, I don't want to hear those words anymore. It goes deeper.
First
anyways.
Cut is the deeper.
God. E3.
Let's dive deeper into E3.
I don't think we already dove deep enough Let's into E3 it last wide week.
Open and dive in.
So
face first.
If anybody missed our coverage, let's go just... go check out BossRushGames.com. We did a whole huge thing for E3. Over 120 articles from our writing team. Over 50 videos from our live team. It was a long weekend, guys. But we did it. We made it through. We're here. We did it. How does everybody feel? Everybody feel good about E3?
I don't want to go through that again.
I mean, me and Ed, like our episode of Arsenal X after that comes out after this, we had, you know, Xbox had a whole bunch of stuff like all week, so we had to finally finished technically Xbox's E3.
Oh yeah, they had the Hellblade thing, they had the Halo multiplayer stuff, they had
extended. Yeah, they had a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I should have just broken in two parts.
Yeah, yeah. I missed that episode because there's been some things going on, and we had the kids and my nephews and stuff, and it was just like, I am very excited for Xbox. I think Game Pass is undeniably a great value. I am excited for Nintendo's first party. But overall, I feel like a lot of the stuff was a little lackluster for me otherwise. So
I think people are giving Ubisoft a lot less credit than they deserve. I thought Ubisoft had a really good showing.
I think they had a good showing. We knew everything, especially because Mario Rabbids leaked earlier that day from Nintendo.
Right.
Mario Rabbids, my one thing there that I've been kind of mad about for the last like week or so is that we didn't get anything on Beyond Good and Evil 2. Or Skull and Bones, and
were you expecting?
I wasn't necessarily expecting Beyond Good and Evil. I was expecting Skull and Bones because they have the date slated for June of next year, which I assume it's probably going to get bumped again.
Here's the secret: like what we saw a couple years ago for Beyond Good and Evil, that's all they've ever had.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, like, does it become a movie? Because you could do that.
I bet like... they were working on that, and I don't know. I feel like this Avatar thing they got sucked into, like, which I don't care about the Avatar movie, but this game could potentially be really awesome. And then they announced that open world Star Wars game that the Division team is working on. So I don't know. I wonder if that team is starting to move into other things. And Michelle Ancel left, right? So
yeah,
and that was kind of his baby. So
I mean, Rough Riders had a good showing. I mean, it had a really good showing. I was really impressed with everything that they showcased there, and that release date was right.
Stop calling it Rough Riders.
God, I know. God, I was like, oh, what? Rough Riders?
Rough Riders was the working title, and then
so
Riders Republic.
Yeah,
Riders Republic.
It's okay. We forgive you.
I was gonna say. DMX, man.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay.
You ever seen that Letterkenny clip of
no.
That bark bark is the best thing you can do after a rap and then try all the different animal noises to try to get it?
I don't know what Letterkenny is, so
you don't know what
it's
funny
is.
It's a
Canadian show. You're not missing anything.
It doesn't. If I haven't heard of it, I haven't been missing it. So. Logan probably looks like he belongs on that show.
Yeah. Justin Bieber's uncle now.
Yeah.
With the shaved hair.
Wait a second.
Uncle, cousin, brother.
I'm scanning something in YouTube right now, and it's saying Chadwick Boseman auditioned for Drax at one point.
Yeah.
I did not know this.
Yeah.
It's really shocking.
Yeah. So, Sebastian Stan auditioned for Captain America at one point and Star Lord.
Yeah, I knew that. knew that.
Loki originally, or Tom Hiddleston originally interviewed for Thor.
Yeah. So, which I'm glad he's playing Loki because he's good at it.
Yeah.
Show is phenomenal.
I haven't started it yet.
There's no way I could see him as Thor. It would just be awkward to me.
Yeah. He's too small, right? Like, I mean,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I know, like, he could probably get bigger if he worked out, but
he's small. I mean, I feel like Hemsworth is meathead enough to be Thor.
Yeah.
So. Even though technically he was a skinny, gangly dude when he first hit the scene, too.
Right. As in Star Trek, I think it was like the first thing I ever saw him in. I mean, I'm sure he was in other things too.
Well, he wasn't that skinny. He wasn't that skinny. It looked like he was eating a bunch of Hawaiian rolls in that movie.
I mean, can you deny a good Hawaiian roll though? Put some lather.
I can't deny it. You know, and I understand in Hollywood, you know, like that, that food and refreshment cart is strong with that stuff.
Yeah. And those Hawaiian roll hot dog buns.
So good. You put a spicy bratwurst in there, and some spicy brown on a Hawaiian roll.
You're speaking my love language.
Speaking of food, did you see what The Rock posted for his final 3 weeks of Shazam shooting?
Yeah.
I'm like,
How are you eating that?
I mean, it's not good. I used to do that, like, a long time ago when I cared about what I looked like.
I mean, like, I eat rice cakes, like, 5 times a week now, and, I mean, that's rough, but it's not that bad. Like,
Well, speaking of food, guys, we have a good old Greg Osterman III question.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
Oh boy,
he says.
What's he, Greg, man?
He says. Hey, dudes, I just want to say what a killer job you all did for E3 this year. Loved everything you guys did, especially the pods. Got me through a huge week at work. Kudos to whoever edits your shows because the YouTube clips were lit too. Wouldn't call them lit, but it's fine. It's cool. Now for my question, entirely unrelated. What is your favorite chain sit-down restaurant and what do you get?
Let me go first.
Great. You get to go first, Laron. Congratulations.
Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, you get them rattlesnake bites. You get them rattlesnake bites, and the
every so often I get the rattlesnake bites, but I'm almost always guaranteed. I'm almost always hey. They don't. Hey, they will run you out of the restaurant if you call it that.
What is it? Awesome Blossom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bloomin' Onion.
Yeah.
Bloomin' Onion's Outback.
Yeah, but I'm almost always guaranteed to get a ribeye, and I stepped up my game because I get the bone in ribeye now, you know. Yeah, and
you're an adult
and now. And always got to get like 4 servings of the rolls. Mm. So there you go. I made it easy.
I always get a full rack of ribs. Mm. I take half home for later. I eat half.
Wow. Their ribs are pretty good. I will say that. Like honestly, there's not much out on the Roadhouse menu that I've been like, nah, I'm not getting that again. It hasn't been much.
Who else has one? Who else got one? I do. I like Chili's. Okay. I enjoy Chili's, a good chili. Chili's I got the tonight. We actually went to Chili's tonight, and we got the Southwestern egg rolls, and I got myself. I got myself that Chipotle lime chicken bowl, and it was how do you say delicious? It was awesome.
Yeah, I actually got that last time I went to Chili's.
Is one of the worst places.
What'd you say, Austin?
I've never been to a Fridays actually.
Oh,
I got the Chipotle chicken bowl last time I went to Chili's. I actually got it the last time I went there. It was good. But I've never been to a TGI Fridays ever.
You're not missing.
I've only seen one.
Well, see, this is why I don't like them. Every time that I've gone, I found like one thing that really, really sounded good to me, and then the next time I go back, that thing would be gone.
Yeah.
And so, like, they just always change their menu, and it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, I think they rotate like their special items every 3 weeks at that place.
Yeah. Well, like, so yeah, there was like it just like they made it seem though like But I did go. I did have the like their Impossible Burger or whatever they had, and that was pretty good. When they were doing that, I don't know if they still do, but yeah, I don't know. I hate when places change their menu like all the time like that. It's just kind of irritating, especially if there already wasn't something, you know, a whole lot for you to pick from that you were interested in. But for me, honestly, it's Red Robin. Like, I just love Red Robin. Oh, yeah, I
forgot about Red Robin.
I went there last night, actually. Red Robin.
Bottomless fries, man. You get there.
You got it.
Yep.
You get there, whatever. I don't know what they do. I don't know if they, like, make love to their Lowry seasoning or whatever, but it's, like, way better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, their seasoning is really good, but I actually like the Parmesan garlic fries. Those are really good. And those are bottomless too. Like, it costs like a dollar something extra, but you get bottomless. So it's like, okay, well, a dollar or something extra, that's worth it. Cause yeah. They're so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that's for me.
Or you get bottomless onion rings and it's great.
Where? Yeah. Wait.
At Red Robin,
bottles
onion
rings.
No. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. Date night weekend.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how they're staying profitable with bottles onion rings.
Dude, the onion rings are so good with that. Whatever you dip them in, the orange sauce.
That campfire mayo. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. It's good.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, I would weigh 400 pounds if I got bottles onion rings. Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. I hate to break it to you,
but for a dollar, you can.
Yeah, I always get their Royal Red Robin. I just love a really good burger with an egg on it. Mm. So good.
Mm-hmm. I always get the California chicken burger, which is like the one. It's the one with the avocado on it, but I say no avocado because I'm not.
Is it on sourdough or is it?
No, it's just on regular. No.
Oh,
bun.
Oh, okay.
I'm the black and blue burger. Every time I go there,
It's that
California melt is what I was thinking of.
It's that gorgonzola cheese that. Not into it. Not into the blue cheese. Not into gorgonzola. Not into. My cheese needs to be solid and not chunky.
I have no problem with chunky cheese. I have no problem with
it. It needs to be solid or straight up liquid.
Some blue cheese is liquid.
It's true.
Yeah, in the dressing.
Somewhere in between. Hold on. Somewhere in between, we were talking about bottomless onion rings and blue cheese. Jesse's hair switched sides. Yep. What happened?
Yeah.
It's throwing me off. I don't
know anytime he wants.
You know, Jesse, just because you have a nice full head of hair doesn't mean you can, you know, just switch sides like that. Okay.
There.
Oh,
I was gonna put it into a full on mohawk. I got some.
Please do that for next week's show, Jesse.
Mocha de gorilla snot gel.
Oh, that sounds.
That sounds like something you're supposed to put in your hair.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. What?
Oh, I was gonna say my restaurant's kind of like Jesse's, only. So Cheddar's used to be my favorite, I didn't know it was a chain until I started going to different places. Like, oh, Cheddar's is everywhere.
I've never even heard of Cheddar's. What is it?
Oh, dude, it's so good, made from scratch.
They have it. I know they have it in Texas, and I know they have it in Missouri, and I know they have it in Florida.
So
I know it's other places, but Kansas, they got Iowa, rid Nebraska. Of their onion rings. They got rid of their onion rings, and they were the best onion.
They were this huge tower too, dude. They were so good.
Yeah. They got rid of the potato soup. They got rid of some of the ribs. I was just like, they got rid of all the favorite things that I would eat there. So now I like Saltgrass, which is a steakhouse. It's the best. It's better than any steakhouse to me at this point. Like, it is so good.
Nice. I guess I'll have to try that at some point. I'm in Florida enough. I'll find
if
one.
You like when they bring a saltgrass steak to you, they do a giant blob of butter on there, and like it's just like thank you for this. Just thank you for this.
So it's full Pauline style. Okay.
It's worth it. Despite all the racism from Paula Deen.
One of God's colors.
God, she's just... God, I don't even know where to go from there. Anyone else have a chain restaurant they want to talk about? Have a delightful experience? I used to work at one. Glad I don't work there anymore. We'll just put it that way.
Rest in peace, Dad. Rest in peace to Applebee's. I don't know if they're still there. They got rid of the one thing that I like there.
There's one by my house. Rest in peace, Bennigan's, by the way.
Yeah.
Perkins, I don't mind Perkins just because I like the they have, like, at night you get the half-price appetizers, like at a certain time period late at night. And I love their bakery stuff. It's so good, especially the peanut butter silk pie. Oh.
Ooh, sounds good.
Oh, you said peanut butter. So I'm good. Out.
I know. Of course.
All right. Well, thank you, Greg, as always, for your wonderful question. Always makes me hungry after we talk about that, actually. But, especially because we ate dinner early tonight. So, anyways. We ate it. What did we eat? When did we eat? We ate at like 4:30 tonight. Because we went over to my mom's for brunch. For breakfast, and we ate at like 10. And then we didn't eat lunch, but then we got hungry for dinner at like 4:30, so we ate then.
I just realized I haven't even eaten today. Dang.
Oh, okay. Well, whose fault's that? By the way, Logan, like, your set is falling down behind you.
Yeah, I know. No, like I made lunch for my dad and my family, but I was like, it's just too much fat. Like if I eat it right now, my stomach will explode. So I'm like, I won't eat any of that. Yeah, I haven't eaten anything today. That's dangerous.
We had a taco bar today.
I enjoy a good taco bar. Speaking of taco bars, this is the Boss Rush Podcast, the flagship show of the Boss Rush Network, where each and every week we get together with our friends from around the internet to talk about video games and everything we love about them. You can catch the show live on twitch.tv/BossRushGamesLive on Sunday nights, or on Mondays on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other podcast apps, as well as YouTube and our website. Please leave us a 5-star review and a nice comment. It really helps us grow. You can email the show at bossrushnetwork@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter @BossRushNetwork. Join our Discord, our Facebook group, and all of our other communities to be awesome like us. You can find all of our content on BossRushNetwork.com, BossRushGames.com, and check out Boss Rush Entertainment's thing of what do you call it? Slate of shows. I was looking for the right word.
Yeah, that works. That works. Yeah.
Bonanza.
Bonanza of shows.
Hey, follow us on Twitter now. We have a new Twitter account.
No, don't follow them. It's just really, I don't know. No, follow them. Boss Rush ENT.
Yep. And then now available on Spotify too. So like you still get the normal show feeds on Spotify, but if you just want everything in one central location, just type in Boss Rush Entertainment.
I'm thinking about doing that as well on like a paid feed, not just like an anchor feed. You know what I mean? Like a SoundCloud feed or something. But
I mean, we do both. Like, SoundCloud.
Yeah, I know you do both. I'm just saying, like, I wonder if that would be worth doing, investing in. Let us know.
Give people content for free, man. Make the specialty shows the ones you got to put a paywall on.
No, I'm saying for us to invest in a free for people.
Like the pro account for SoundCloud.
Yes.
Okay, that's okay. My bad.
I'm not an animal.
Yeah, no, I pay for it. It's awesome. Totally works. It's awesome.
I mean, I do. And I would like to wipe my butt with some Jacksons someday, but you know,
like I do love the fact that like SoundCloud lets me have like 3 years worth of content on there at once without you know overloading.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Nice.
Anyways,
now I got the Bonanza theme song stuck in my head.
Nanny. Oh. Anyways, I don't want to get a copyright strike since, you know, the day before E3 starts, they sent out this nice letter and said we couldn't co-stream, so it ruined all my plans. Jerks. Okay, this
Xboxes,
is...
Xboxes, you could, technically.
Side tangent. Side tangent. I'm looking at the Skype call right now, right? And everybody looks normal. But since I have the Google Docs as, like, my primary window, the little Skype window pops up right under my camera. And it's just Logan making this disgruntled, disappointing face. And it feels like he's just peering into my soul about my life
choices.
That's
just, like, all my expressions, yeah.
So... All right, so what we're going to do here, we're going to, I know we did a whole bunch of E3 coverage. If you want to hear a full breakdown of all of it, check out our Boss Rush at Night content. It's all up on the Boss Rush podcast feed, on our YouTube channel. The proper, shows and stuff will be going up on other feeds this week as well. So the Xbox show will be going up on the Xbox feed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what we're going to do here, in case you don't care about 12 hours of podcast content, we're going to bring you our top three favorite things of the show with a slew of honorable mentions. So, hope everybody brought your list. Everybody brought their list.
Mine was easy.
So, what we're going to do is we're going to go round robin here. We're going to kind of do like a rapid fire of our honorable mentions. And then we'll do, you know, 3-3-3-3-2-2-2-2-1-1-1-1. That way. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, Austin? We're going to start with you. With your honorable mentions.
My honorable mentions. Okay, so I want to give an honorable mention to Far Cry 6. Because this is a game that I'm really, really excited about, but I refuse to watch any of the E3 stuff on it because I'm now in dark mode. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see any of it. I just want to play it. I did see pictures of Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm super excited.
And that slick white suit.
Ah, yes. I cannot wait. It's like... To me, I like to picture that it's part of the Breaking Bad universe, even though I know it's not. I'm already like picturing it in my head, but I definitely want to give a shout out to Far Cry 6. I want to give a shout out to finally Danganronpa being on Switch, so people can play it on the Switch, play all three games. Plus, they're getting a little bit of a bonus with like an upgraded to the board game mode that they had in the second game. Which I will probably buy it just so I can play more of it. And then just give a shout out to Xbox because I now have to tell my wife that I'm also have to buy a new Xbox by November of next year. As long as they have it by then, that's all that matters.
They did have Hopefully. An impressive show. Even if you don't really care about Xbox that much, you can't tell me that they didn't have some sort of cool...
I will say Starfield is honorable mention as well, because we didn't get to see it as much. If we would have saw gameplay, it would probably have been my number one, though, 100%.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's insane that teaser trailer has got like 8.1 million views.
Oh yeah,
like alone.
I just
not even so a quarter bad. Of that many people watched the E3 Xbox Bethesda E3. Even it's just so many people have watched that teaser trailer. It's insane.
Yeah, it's I don't get it. But I have a year and a half to figure it out, I guess. So,
well, there's just one thing I wanted to touch on. Like, there's a game, and I cannot remember. I've been trying to find out what game it was, but there's this like game that I play that's just a small indie game, and like everyone there was talk about every single button on your dashboard in that spaceship is going to actually do something.
Are you talking about Elite Dangerous?
No, there's a game I played though where it was like that, where you had you were in a spaceship, and in order to take off, you actually had to do a whole bunch of things, just like a checklist of things
that sounds...
before the spaceship would take off, and people are thinking that that might be something that you might have to do, like more like flight semi kind of thing.
Mm. Is that the Star Trek command game? The VR one?
It was just some indie like
Kerbal Space Program.
Mars, or I don't remember what it was. It was Kerbal.
It's NASA. The NASA simulator.
I would play that.
All right, is that all you had, Austin?
Those are my honorable mentions.
All right,
I'll give you three because I'll go all day.
Logan, what are your honorable mentions of the show?
So, War for Wakanda, the DLC coming to Avengers. I thought it was a little bit better showing than I thought they would have for it. This is a DLC that needs to revive this game because right now it's the concurrent players is the lowest it's been so far.
Just to play off of that, for fans of Destiny, this has to be their Taken King moment.
Exactly. This has to be the big one. You have to get players back in, and you have to hook them, and you can't keep the repetitiveness going. Like, make it a little bit easier to get cool gear.
I thought they were making it harder.
I think they are, but no. From a fan's perspective, make it easier. Make it easier, please. Thank you. Number two, Shredders, which was in the Xbox showcase. Josh Finney and I have talked a lot about this game because I didn't know what to think of it because I thought it was a little bit weird timing with Riders Republic coming by Ubisoft and then Xbox saying, hey, 3 months later, here's this game. But knowing who is on the development team and the different projects that they were on, because they were on SSX and they've also worked on the Shaun White snowboarding games, like, this is going to be a true extreme sports winter game. Mm-hmm. Can't wait for it. And Moto X finally being in a game. That's something we haven't seen yet.
One of their...
can be pretty dope.
One of their producers also worked on Amped, the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you didn't catch the Xbox Showcase Extended, they actually did a really good deep dive on that game as well with the developers.
Yeah,
that was a really cool part.
Got a special shout out from Phil Spencer himself, so he's really excited. Nice.
I'm also pumped that it's going to be Game Pass. That way I don't have to pay $60 for it.
Yeah, 70 probably.
Yeah. Realistically.
Something like that. And then the third one, man, what do I want to shout out here? Breath of the Wild 2. Because, hey, look, it actually did get my attention. I was pleasantly surprised by the Nintendo. I was in the writer's room for the Nintendo press conference. I don't know that I should have been, but I was. And I heard Ed scream so many times that, like, whew, it was a lot. But I loved it. It was really cool to see that excitement on that day. But it wasn't just that. It was everybody, too. But, yeah, Breath of the Wild, too. Like, as much as I give the first one a lot of crap, because I just don't get it. I've played the game. I don't understand it. It's not for me. But the second one does look cool, and I am really excited to see what they do with it.
I'm excited to see the return of Dungeons. We had a big theory on what Dungeons could possibly do in terms of weapons and stuff. What we were kind of talking about, which I guess we could just get into it when I talk about it, but unbreakable weapons, we've been talking about how Dungeons might give you unbreakable versions of weapons that you need.
That'd be cool.
So, like, technically, you don't have to do them, but if you want that unbreakable or that Master Sword style weapon that, like, maybe has a cooldown timer after you use all of its magic or whatever, that's what the Dungeons will provide for you. So,
yeah, I had that as my number three.
Yeah,
One. Well, and I like the whole, like, reversing time stuff and all that. Like, yeah,
a lot of Skyward Sword elements in it, a lot of Ocarina elements in it.
Yeah.
A little bit of Twilight Princess in there. It has me very excited for the games of the series that I do like.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did just buy a Switch Lite, so, like, this will be a game that I play, and I'll try to give it as fair of a chance as I can.
Ooh, speaking of, side tangent, I also... Hold on. Reaching in my magic bag here. I also
Yeah, we got the same one, dude.
Yeah. So, just because when I have my real one in handheld mode, it sounds like it might blow up. So I'm like, since the Switch Pro wasn't announced, I guess I'll get one for a handheld.
Question, guys, how hot does that thing get? The light.
I don't know. I haven't used it yet.
I haven't had any issues with mine yet.
Yeah.
So LaRon, the closest thing I can compare it to, like weight and heat wise, is the Vita.
Yeah. Like I would say the 2.0 Vita, not the OLED heavy one.
Yeah, that's completely fair.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's really nice. It feels like feels like if someone injected some performance enhancing drugs into a Game Boy Advance.
It's the Barry Bonds of consoles. Okay? Yes.
Jesse, what were your three honorable mentions for the...
My three... Well, one of them wasn't technically a game, but I like we found out during the extended thing for Xbox that you'll be able to play Game Pass games, and they're going to upgrade it to the Series X hardware for Game Pass games, and you'll be able to stream them off of your Xbox One.
Yeah.
So yeah, you won't even need a new Xbox, you know, if you don't want it.
Yeah, so everybody doesn't know, the cloud streaming stuff is, they're based on Xbox One S versions of games right now. So you're getting like 900p, you know, 30 frames a second on most things. But starting this fall, they're upgrading those blades to Xbox Series X versions. So you'll be streaming, you know, theoretically you'll be streaming up to 4K and 60 frames depending on your internet. So it's cool. That's cool. Yeah. Especially because Game Pass is coming to smart TVs as well. Man, that's going to be nice in the bedroom if I just want to like play some Psychonauts one night. I'll be like, oh, cool. My controller, you know, in there.
Just the fact that, you know, like you can use a straight up, you know, LAN connection and not have to, you know, like worry about dealing with Wi-Fi and all that stuff. Like that's going to make it significant difference, you know, like on the connections and all that. But so that was one of my honorable mentions. And then Stalker 2, like I'm hoping that this does like gives me kind of what I want. Like I really, really liked the last Metro game, but there was just something about it that didn't quite hook me that a whole lot. And if you don't know, like some of the ex-developers of that game are working on Stalker 2, and that's why it looks so much like Metro. I don't know, this like it just seems really cool. Like I like how you can like in the middle of stuff you got that like plus sign thing that comes up of all your attachments, and you can like on the fly you can switch everything up, and I don't know, the story and everything is kind of interesting to me. Like I'm just really intrigued with this game. I don't really know what to think quite yet, but it's got me pretty interested in it, and I'm just kind of really gonna start watching, you know, as more stuff hopefully comes out about it and all that.
Yeah.
And it will be, you know, like on Series X and S and PC only, so it will be a next gen game. I think they said straight up it's not gonna be able, it won't be able to run on the other consoles. So
yeah, that's cool. I mean, that game looked amazing. Like it visually looks stunning.
Yeah.
So
very stunning.
Between that and then my next game that I want to give her an honorable mention to, only because there was so many good games that I loved this year, but Forza Horizon 5, like that game too, like that game just looks so amazing.
Yeah,
and like I'm so excited for it. Like I'm ready.
The new AI that they have for it, I can't wait to experience that and see how it works with the actual gameplay. I mean, it just looks insane.
Yeah, Well, and it's so good.
Go ahead.
I just love when they do the still shot of like the waterfalls and the mountains and stuff, and then they just zoom into the gameplay. I'm like, holy shit.
I know, like they did that. Awesome. They did that. They did that two separate times where they're like,
yeah, and both times I was like, yeah, no way.
I thought it was just like
every little thing on the cactus.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I was like, they were talking about like the photogrammetry that they're using for this version of the game, and I'm like, man, this is a nice still photo of backwoods Mexico or whatever, and then you just see like these cars just flying over the water. I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the and like I was talking with Ed about this, and I think we kind of talked about it on the on our like our recap stuff, but like, you know, like the one of the big things that I remember being such a big deal about Grand Theft Auto Online is people being able to make like their own fun kind of racing games and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that they kind of brought something like that into this. And I really hope that once people get in there and start, you know, creating cool stuff, that they hopefully keep, you know, updating and adding to that and listening to like feedback and stuff, because I think that could be a really, really cool feature of the game, like alone.
Yeah.
Like just standalone, like the whole kind of just making fun things for you and your friends to do would be awesome. So,
yeah. Laron, what are your three honorable mentions here?
All right. First off, it's an honorable mention for me, but I got to give it up for Starfield. Even though it was a cinematic trailer and stuff like that,
it was in engine.
Yeah, it was in engine, but still, like, gameplay sells all the time. I don't care if your cinematic stuff is in game, like. You gotta show me some gameplay, because like if it looks beautiful but it plays like a potato, guess what? I'm not gonna care about it.
Well, it's gonna play like a Bethesda game in space.
Well, maybe
space.
We can hope. Like this might be the game they want to change the formula on. So you know that's.
You think there's gonna be a planet made out of a giant wheel of cheese?
Was that something that happened in
Skyrim? One of the things in Skyrim was people would take all the wheels of cheese and pile them into one house.
Yes. I've played 1,000 hours of Skyrim. If it's Skyrim in space, I'm going to play it. I'm going to put 1,000 more hours into it.
I've never been to Elder Scrolls and stuff like that, but, you know, like, it's got the sci-fi hook for me, so, you know, like, that'll get me interested enough, you know. Let's put it this way. It's a Game Pass download for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good thing Game Pass exists.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah. True. Yeah. My next honorable mention is the Splinter Cell animated series. Yeah, I was yanked out of left field on that one. I was yanked out of left field on that one. You know, like, you know, I know everybody's complaining stuff like why can't it just be a game? But you know what? Anything that keeps that universe going, I'm here for it. You know, and stuff like that. And you know, maybe that's where it's going to thrive at for the time being. You know, until they figure out what they want to do, if they want to bring it back to like gaming. And my number one honorable mention, and I'm actually going to share the trailer in the Twitch chat for you guys, is this game on coming out on Steam called They Always Run.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That game looks sick. And you know, if you love like the old school looking stuff, like the 16-bit era days and all that stuff, you know, like it, and it doesn't look like it's a rogue. But it looks like it has elements of being roguelike in it. But you know, like it just looks like a fun romp. Watch the trailer; like it's crazy. It's cool. It's stylish and stuff like that. It's like if Devil May Cry or Bayonetta was in 2D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it gives me it. It looks like a Binding of Isaac, kind of. It gives me a Binding of Isaac feel.
With the artwork. 2D. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, with the style.
With it being top down and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so those are my three. Starfield, Splinter Cell, the animated series on Netflix, and then They Always Run on PC.
Cool.
Yeah, They Always Run. Yeah, that game looked good. Yeah, God, I could have like a million other honorable mentions.
I know. I could too.
Yeah.
Gotta give a shout out to Maverick, Top Gun Maverick coming to
Flight Simulator. Yeah.
It'd be cool.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah. I'm going to run through my honorable mentions real quick before we start our top three here. Tales of Arise, it looked really good. First Tales game in a while. Action RPG this time. It's got some fresh blood producing it, so it's going to be a change up for the series, but I'm really, really looking forward to it. Tales of Symphonia is one of my favorite games of all time, so... Hellblade, this was during the Xbox Extended thing. Dude, Hellblade 2 is going to be so good. It's going to be so good.
Yeah.
Oh,
like I said, I don't think it's coming out until 2023.
Yeah, I don't either. I think it's going to be like a spring 2023 thing, which is fine. Take all the time you need.
Yeah, exactly.
I want that combat to be fleshed out. I don't care if it's open world or a linear game like the last one. I just want it to be really good. I want it to be the visual showpiece for the Xbox. Like, just take your time.
And we know we got games coming now. I mean,
yeah.
You know, like, and they haven't even showed everything yet. You know, like, there's stuff that they still have to talk about later on, you know, next year or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel the same way. Take your time.
Yeah. And then Mario plus Rabbids 2 looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I can't wait for that. I debated whether or not to put that in my top three, but right now it sits at number 4.
It is teetering for me.
I know.
It's close.
I'm just like I'm just really excited we're getting another one of those games. So it's there's a theory going around right now that they didn't show Rosalina in the trailer. They just showed Rabid Rosalina. Right now there's a fan theory going around that whoever this main villain is has like mind control powers. And that Rosalina is actually one of the villains and bosses in the game. Mm-hmm. And then you unlock her. That's like one of the theories going around. But anyways.
Psyduck.
Please no. Psyduck. All right, we're going to get into our...
As soon as he said that out, I'm like, sigh.
We're going to get into our top three here. Austin, we're going to go your way first. What's your top... Okay. What's your number three game of E3?
My number three is Mario Party Superstar. Oh, because I love Mario Party so much. And the fact that we're getting some N64 remasters of the games, the boards, the best boards were on the N64.
It's very true.
And the DS one. The DS is still my favorite Mario Party of all time. I stand by it. But I cannot wait. I'm so excited because not only will I play it, but my wife will actually play that one with me. So I'll have someone to play with.
I tried to get my wife into Mario Party. She wouldn't have it. She wasn't having it. I'm like, come on. This is fun. She's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, oh.
You're cool. Me and your wife will get along just great then.
Katie likes it because she beats me at it. All the time. Yeah. Like, all the time she beats me at it.
Wow. Yeah, I love the Mario Party games, too. I'm excited for that one.
I'm excited. Like you said, I'm excited they're going back to N64 stuff.
And like I said, you know, like in our chat, I'm glad that they're supporting the Switch Lite, too, because... you know, like that's the thing. Like, that's the only bummer about the most recent one is I don't think you can you play that on the Lite even?
You can if you put it in tabletop mode, but you have to you have to connect Joy-Cons to it, and it's not not the way you want to play that game.
No. So I'm glad that it has Switch Lite support. Like that for me is a big deal. You know, I don't have one, but it's just like it was a bummer for the last one because you basically, if you wanted to sell your, you know, let's say you wanted to just have
a Switch Lite and didn't really care about the, you know, having a dock and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you had to keep that that old console in order to play that game.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. So, all
right. I almost traded mine for the Lite, and then it, I was like, wait, I can't play Mario Party on it. Yeah. So I didn't. That's the only reason why I didn't trade it in.
That's sad that that's the only reason you didn't trade.
That's the only reason. I never play my Switch on my TV, like, ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. That's why I really need one of the new Switches, if it even really is a thing anymore.
I need a Switch Pro so bad. Where is it? Is it, Nintendo?
Yeah.
Reggie's playing on one.
Speculation. Galaxy. A lot of speculation that's why all these games are getting these cloud versions, is because that will be how you play most games on the old one, and then the new one will be able to play it, like, you know, actually on the console.
You know why? It's because they don't have an executive big enough to pull it out of his pocket like Reggie. Remember when Reggie would just pull, like, the DS out of his pocket? Or Anyways, Logan, what's your number three?
Number three for me is Riders Republic. I thought it had a wonderful showing. I've played a little bit of this game in the beta test, and I can tell you it's absolutely as awesome as it looks. But it really showed up and really brought a lot of the cool customization options. We saw Trick Attack, which is the new game mode coming, which is awesome. This game, I think, is going to be one that they're going to build around for a while. Like, you know, similar to how, like, they built X Games into Steep and the Olympics into Steep, I think they're going to do something similar with Riders Republic. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great opportunity here with this game, and I can't wait to play it again.
Yeah, it looks cool. It looks like Ubisoft is going out of their way to make the, like, a SSX Plus, right? Like, that you know, EA is not making. So that's what has me interested, is like, okay, this is like snowboarding and all this other weird stuff to the extreme, and I'm like, I'm all for it. I want to try it really bad.
It's like the Tony Hawk version of, like, a mix, you know, like, it's all about having fun and, like, having real tricks and things in it, but they're just, you know, more arcadey kind of fun feeling.
Yeah.
I really hope that game comes to Game Pass, because that's definitely a game that I don't want to spend on, because I know it won't keep me for long.
Don't worry, 6 weeks after it comes out, it'll be on sale. So, because that's Ubisoft.
That's true. It's a Ubisoft game. It'll be $30.
Oh, man. Jesse, what's your number three?
Yeah, mine was the Breath of the Wild 2.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
You can talk about that a little bit later, I guess, because it's my number one. So, spoilers. Zelda game's my number one.
Wow. I'm shocked.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm shocked it wasn't Danganronpa, Corey. I really was.
You know what? I'm really happy that the Switch is getting those games, okay? And it's an all-in-one package. I will play them. I'll play them. Austin, we can do a spoiler cast on them.
Do you play... Ace Attorney?
Nope.
Do you play Ace Attorney games?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
I own the...
Ace Attorney, but darker. Way darker.
I got the trilogy, Austin. So, the Ace Attorney trilogy, so... Because it was on sale for, like, $12 at one point.
So, oh, yeah.
Laron, what's your number three?
My number three is Rainbow Six Extraction.
Ooh.
You know, Rainbow Six has always been hit or miss for me, but I love this. I love this whole alien contagion thing for this go around and stuff like that. So, like, I'm not gonna say it's gonna be a day one pick for me, but it's gonna wind up in my library at some point because there's just a whole bunch of cool aspects about it and things like that. And I really like the mechanic of, like, fighting the contagion, where basically the extraction part is, like, you're actually, like, saving the people who are the host for the parasites. Mm-hmm. Like, this game also went through so many different names. It was Rainbow Six Quarantine at one point. It was Rainbow Six Parasite. It was Rainbow Six Contagion, and now it's Extraction.
Yeah. So, is this like a? I feel like this is almost like a Rainbow Six version of Left 4 Dead. Like, is that like dialing it down too simply?
I think it's more of a Prey version.
Yeah, I feel like it's more Prey than Left 4 Dead.
Because, like, I know, Ron, you and I talked about this a few weeks ago. It was like, you know, we know Prey 2 is not in development. It's not going to happen. But there's still so many technological advances that they made with that game from the effects and everything. Like, they have to use that in other games. And that's what this kind of looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they'll probably use it in that Redfall game, probably, right? The Prey stuff.
Yeah. Because
that's the same team.
Yeah.
Jesse, I'm surprised you didn't have
it. Reminds me of Call of Duty Ghost Extinction. That's what it reminds me of, really. And Extinction was the one that I wish they would have brought back, but Call of Duty's stuck on zombies and forever will be at this point.
Yeah.
In Nuketown.
I had to give Josh a come to Jesus moment that everything just cycles. So like it's gonna be zombie. Right now it's like the big trifecta. Yes, yeah, it's the vampire, werewolves, and mummies right now. But it's gonna cycle back. It's gonna cycle back to zombies, of course, because like in 2022 and 2023 we got all those games that are basically space zombies. And all that stuff. So just get ready for it, and then you know, like then it'll be back to Nazis again.
As long as we leave the Twilight vampires in the dust, that's all
you
mean.
You don't want your vampires to sparkle?
Kill them.
Yeah.
Jesse, I'm surprised.
I hope Redfall is just killing all the Twilight characters. That's all the people. They're not even bad guys.
That's a future expansion. Future expansion.
Yeah.
Jesse, I'm surprised you didn't have more to say on this game.
Oh, on Extraction? Like, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It's essentially like a must get for me. It doesn't matter outside, but like anything with those, like the mechanics of like the siege stuff in it, like I'm all in because I just absolutely love like what they did. Like they kind of took the whole like Battlefield, like everything is destructible thing to the next level, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And made it more mean something. You know, it's not just about destroying a building so you could, you know, whatever. Like this, like that game actually made it where it actually means something, and it's, you know, it's key to winning the match for your team. Like I'm really excited and interested in seeing how they kind of mix that stuff in with this, and you know, kind of make those mechanics of Siege relevant to what they're trying to do. So I'm definitely interested. That's like I said, dude, there's so many things I could like honorable mention, like with all this stuff, like even like S'moreville or Summer, I mean, Bill. Yeah, like that game, I am so excited for that. It just looks so awesome. But
I'll tell you what, this Extraction, this is how you get me to play Rainbow Six, Jesse.
Yeah.
We might
have
to have a team stream of this.
Yeah.
At some point. So
yeah, I'd be all for that because this game, it just looks like a fun time.
Yeah. Well, my number three is Metroid Dread.
Looks cool.
Mostly because I think LaRon knows this best, as we've been hearing about this game for about 15 years now.
Yeah.
Because it was supposed to launch on Game Boy Advance. And then
I didn't know about. Mm-hmm. Was this supposed to be a follow up to Fusion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a direct sequel to Fusion.
It still is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
why did it get caught up in development hell like that then?
They went through three different developers. They didn't like where the game was going. They scrapped it, I guess.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't like times. I'm not really feeling the way it's going with that name, Dread.
Dread. Like, that's the name. It's cool.
So, what you think that's cool? Because the only reason why I'm sold on it is because it's a Metroid game. But I'm like that name,
Dread is.
Metroid's always had the creep factor. I'll say that it's always had the creep factor. Like especially if you played the old NES one, and you know, like you're just running against dark caverns until you get to that one area where was it Nolandia, where Norfair. where it's all lava, and there all of a sudden is red, you know. Yeah. But it's always been like this dark, you know, like suggestive, creepy game and stuff, you know. Like the musical score for Super Metroid, you know, like brought up more of the creepy factor and stuff like that. And then by the time we got to like freaking Metroid Fusion, yeah, and of course the Game Boy one, the Samus Returns, you know.
Yeah.
Like there was always a creep factor to it, and I can see now with Dread and everything and with the direction they're going, they're just trying to keep the motif going of the series. So I can respect it, but that name still throws me off.
Corey, was it as big of a shock to you being in the E3 as it was to in the writers' room? It was a shock.
As I'm not really a huge Metroid guy. Like I like Metroid, but I'm not going to go out and be like, oh yeah, Samus, woo. You know what I mean? Like,
see, I'm the Metroid fan for Boss Rush, with the exception of Prime.
But to me, it's just like, I'm really happy for the super fans of Metroid that we're getting a new 2D Metroid, especially on Switch. I like the fact that it seems to be doing some cool evolutions of the things that the 3DS game was doing, the remake of 2. I really like the visual style, honestly, where that monochromatic kind of just black and white environments with just hints of color, right? You see the red and blue on her suit. You see the lights on the robots. You see the lights on the doors. And that's kind of like where your color is coming from. And I really dig that. I really like the art style, which I think is why I'm so excited, right? Because like the whole Metroidvania thing, I'm just like not super into. The only Metroid game I've ever beaten besides Prime 1 was the original Metroid. I've actually been playing around with getting the ones that are available on Wii U's Virtual Console on Wii U, and then the remake of 2 on 3DS. I'm going to try to play through all of them before this game comes out, because they're not that long. That first one's not long. Super Metroid's not long. So that's where I'm at on that. But I really like where this series seems to be going. It's got me intrigued. Yeah,
I never got to play the last, the one that was on 3DS. I've wanted
Nobody
to, but
did,
I just
because it was on 3DS and the Switch was awesome. So
yeah, exactly. And I just had to sell mine to get my Switch, and so it was like, I'm not gonna buy another one now again just so I can play one game, you know, like.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never really been into the 2D Metroid games.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've played most of them, but. You know, like, yeah, I agree with you though, Corey. Like this one, like, really has me technically the last one had me interested in playing a 2D Metroid game again. But yeah, I do like what they're doing. Like you said, the art style stuff is really cool, and I like the whole like Nemesis like type thing, and like the, you know, being chased and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just some really cool things that they're doing to make it stand out for, you know, for those kind of games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but that's my number three. Austin, we're going back to you. What's your number two?
Okay. I do have a quick question for you all on Metroid. Does the development hell give you a little bit of a worry about the game?
No, the team that they moved the game to did Samus Returns on 3DS, and that game was very good. So
yeah,
okay,
same.
I didn't get to play Samus Returns on 3DS. Same reasons. It was 3DS was over at that point. Yeah,
yeah. And with Nintendo, you know that if they didn't like where it was going, we still wouldn't know that it exists. You know, like.
Yeah.
Like just the fact that they showed this like means that they're confident in what
was it dated. It comes out what? It comes out later this year, right?
Yeah, it comes out this year. October?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
October 8th is when it comes out.
8th.
I already pre-ordered
it. Yeah. I got really excited, and then I kept hearing like the story behind it because I didn't know all this stuff. And then I got like Mighty Number 9 flashbacks, and then I got really scared. I got really scared.
I got to tell you that I will tell you that the DS version that they showed working at some point was not good looking. So yeah,
this game looks awesome.
Yeah,
just
I think Mercury Steam, even though they had some really bad issues with Castlevania in the past, like I think with Nintendo overseeing development of these games, seems like they don't want another Other M situation, which is honestly why I think the DS version of this game got canceled, is because of how bad Other M was received. So I think with Nintendo kind of overseeing it and stuff, it's going to be just fine. So
my number two, and I don't think this is going to be on anyone's list, but Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Ooh.
I am super excited for more in this series. I know a lot of people are saying it looks like a PS2 game, a PS3 game, or whatever.
I just want to know what PS2 they were playing to get games this
good. Yeah. But I'm like, it doesn't look like, it doesn't have the style of like Persona 5 did, or, and I can understand that, but to me, like, turn-based RPGs, as long as the story's good and like, not necessarily, like, the art style is different and unique and cool, that's all that gets me. And all the demons that are in the Shin Megami Tensei series, I love all the versions of them, all the different demons in it, so I'm very excited for that. I heard a rumor that it was coming to PS4, and I was like, wait, and then that got canned really quickly, and I was like, dang. So I will be playing it on Nintendo.
Yeah.
So no trophies for me.
Yeah. Womp womp. I'm actually intrigued in that game as well, because I think it's the closest thing we're going to get to Persona on Switch at some point. So,
man, I was really pulling for a Persona 3 and 4 remakes on either Switch or even PS4 and Xbox One.
I'm surprised Persona 4 Golden hasn't gotten some sort of PS4 port at this point.
I mean, it's on PC, and I'm like, why is it only on PC? Why?
It's on the Vita too.
Yeah.
But... Well, yeah, it was made for the Vita, but it came to PC like a year ago, and that's how a lot of people are playing it now.
That is,
man.
Yeah. Logan, what's your number two?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ooh.
By Square Enix. Love what we saw out of this game. I know people are complaining about the characters, but look, in these games, it's very hard to make it look exactly like Chris Pratt and way that they did that.
I don't want it to look like that either.
Yeah, I don't want it to look like any of those characters. The only two characters that need to look like they're how they're supposed to look is Rocket and Groot.
Yeah, and they do, so it's fine.
This game looked like it had a better combat system than what Avengers has, which has me really excited, because like I think Square realizes, hey, they didn't do the combat system as well as they could have with Avengers, so they kind of fixed it here with this one. I love it. I'm really, really hyped for this. They need to tell a good story with it, but as long as there's a good story, I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I'm expecting...
I like the whole choice thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say the same
thing. I feel like it would be easier, though, for Guardians of the Galaxy, since... you know, Star-Lord uses a gun, Gamora uses, you know, guns, swords, or whatever, and then Drax uses swords, fists, or whatever. So everyone's using guns, and with Avengers, it was all powers, and I think they had a hard time getting the powers involved. So I feel like it's going to be easier to do for Guardians of the Galaxy to make it more
connected. Plus, like, focusing on one character and one story and one kind of, you know, having choices kind of matter, but at the end, like, kind of altering the story, but still kind of, you know, I think this is the smartest decision they could have done, right? Plus, I trust this team, because both Deus Ex games were good, and the Tomb Raider game they made was excellent, so...
It's gonna throw people off, though, like, if it has too much of a Deus Ex feel, because that's not normally the kind of gameplay that's associated with, like, Avengers and Marvel games, so it will be interesting on that now. But, I mean, graphically and what we saw, what little bit we saw of the story, like, it has me 100% hooked.
Yeah, I'm in. I don't really care a lot about Guardians of the Galaxy, but I think that this game looks great. I think, like, the story, like, choosing things that happen in the story, I don't think they're going to matter too much, just so, like, the general audience can get into it, right? Like, Deus Ex is a very niche game, right? Like, I don't think that game sold very well. It's very highly... you know, regarded and everything, but I don't think it sold very well. But if you take light elements of that and put it in a Guardians game and just make it feel like, oh, cool, I get to make this decision, that's neat kind of thing, it's going to draw a general audience in that, you know, Deus Ex never did. So, Jesse, what's your number two game?
Yeah. Scarlet Nexus.
Oh, God.
Yes.
All right, interesting pick. I like it.
I'm really, like, they did a deep dive on this at the end of the Xbox Showcase Extended, where they talked to, like, all the developers, and they literally broke down every little thing about the creating this game and where the inspirations for the world, you know, visuals came from. And they talk about having, you know, the Tokyo Tower in there, but they wanted to make it bigger because, you know, like, they're like, they just really went into depth and just really, like, had such passion for what they were doing in this game, on top of it just looking amazing. Like, the whole fact that they were able to pull off cell shading characters in a more realism looking world, you know, over the top of it, and make it so it still felt like those characters belong there is impressive in my opinion. I just played the demo actually of it before we started the show, and I just absolutely love it. Like, the combo stuffs and just what they're doing in this game, like, I'm just really enjoying it. And and so far it's a little bit more, I would say, player friendly for people who aren't maybe, like, super great at like doing button combos and stuff like that. They kind of do a little bit more of a almost action, like the action sequence kind of thing in some cases. So, like, you know, like, you can just push, like, buttons rapidly and it will do combos. But, like, you have this power where you can, like, grab stuff and you can throw it. But there's actually another version of that where when you throw it into someone, then it will give you an action sequence of where you can use that power to then bash them again with it. Like, and so, like, they just got cool stuff like that that they did that's just really, like, player friendly, and it's a more simplified version of, like, a Bayonetta or a, you know, Devil May Cry or that kind of stuff. But I just really, really like the setting, and, like, the characters are cool, and just the whole, like you can call on powers from all these different characters, and then it, like, mutates your body into this cool looking thing that gets super powerful. And just, like, it's just such a fun game, fun looking game. It was totally something that I normally would not have on my list for stuff like this. It's just not normally something that you'd see me super into, but
yeah,
this is just doing something for me that I really enjoy. So
yeah, that's an odd pick for you. I think yeah. Are you having a stroke, Jesse? I feel like you've been hanging out with Ed too long.
No, I honestly, it's Game Pass. Like, Game Pass is, like, allowed me to try different stuff and, like, find that, hey, like, maybe it isn't that I don't like these kind of games, it's just I just don't like that particular game, but I do like games like it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'll be honest, like, I know, like, everyone in the world loves it, but I just did not get into Bayonetta.
Yeah.
But I do like this game, and I like, there are games like, I like Nier Automata, I like, you know, like, stuff like that. So yeah, I'm really excited with this game, and I'm probably gonna play it more later, the demo.
Nice.
A modern world Tales just sounds great. It just sounds great. The same people made Tales, they get this game, it's gonna be great. It's this week, isn't it? It's this week it comes out, right?
Yeah.
Comes out the same day as Mario Golf.
So does Tony Hawk on Switch too.
guess what game I'm buying? It's not Scarlet Nexus and it's not Tony Hawk.
Laurent, what's your number two game?
My number two game is Forza Horizon 5.
Ooh.
Yeah. Maybe a month or so ago, I installed Forza Horizon 4 on my PC from the Game Pass. Mm-hmm. And, what intrigued me was I have a ginormous ass freaking monitor. Like, it's a 49-inch ultra wide monitor. And when I heard that that it actually uses the entire landscape of the monitor for the end game, I was like, oh, I have to see this, and I was blown away with it. And so watching the presentation that they had that Microsoft had for it, and seeing all those features coming back, plus the super realism and all that stuff, I was like, hell yes, like I want this. I'm going to get this. You know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go ultra geek on this, but I like how Horizon has like the mixture of like the technical plus the arcade style, and that's how you keep me coming back to a racing game. You know, like if it's gonna be technical, you need to throw a little bit of like the arcade style like elements into it to keep me coming back to it. This is why I'm not just running after Gran Turismo 7 when it comes out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that's what I was going to say is you get the best of both worlds. You get the like realism and the look, you know, of like a hardcore like you know, realism sim game, but at the same time you get that fun arcade side of it as well. You know, you get you really do get the best of both in those Horizon games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but I'm just keeping that one short and sweet though.
Yeah. My number two game, Halo Infinite. I don't know how.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. I was so worried last year. I'm like, man, I don't want Halo to be bad. And as somebody who really loved Halo 4 and thought Halo 5's multiplayer and movement and gunplay was really good, but the story was really lackluster, I'm like, I really want Halo to return to prominence, right? And I think like what they showed not only during the presentation but the extended stuff later in the week was really phenomenal. I love the multiplayer stuff. I love the multiplayer look. I love that big team battles 12v12 now. I love that the season pass stuff seems really interesting in terms of cosmetics and the pass that never ends, right? Like it never expires. You can just keep going and keep going, which is kind of what they're doing in Master Chief Collection right now. And I'm really excited for Halo Infinite. I used to love Halo multiplayer. It really brought back those vibes of Halo 2 and 3 multiplayer that I really loved with modern sensibilities, right? With like the grappling hook that you can pull weapons towards you. Looks really cool. The fact that you can sprint and equipment is coming back from Halo 3, and it's just like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to play this, right? Especially because, like, I like playing multiplayer games, but Destiny's PvP has been so just unbalanced lately. I can't get into Warzone. I can't get into, you know, these other multiplayer. Gears is just wall bouncy, shotgun, fuckfest. Yeah. Like, I just can't do that. It's... The fact that Halo might be like in the fact that it's free to play for everyone, right? Like, you have to buy the battle passes if you don't buy the game or play it on Game Pass, but like,
but not all of the great cosmetics are locked behind it, you know? Like, we've seen that that amazing samurai outfit is going to be something you can unlock without the battle pass.
Yeah,
I'm so excited.
And in the story, and in the story that they've released, like the fact that we're going to be trying to help Cortana, I mean, heck yeah, I mean, I'm totally in for this.
Yeah, a new AI that's going to help you look for Cortana. Like, Chief's got two women now, guys.
Yeah,
I don't even have one.
Rule 34 or 43 is going to be having a day with all the new AI, I'm sure.
Oh jeez.
That campaign section looked really cool too. Like when he was floating through space and he was like gently moving the Marines out of the way,
pushed the guy out of the
way. like just tossing away the Covenant and the debris, right? And then when he gets to the Warthog with the Marines in it, I thought he was going to grab the dog tags off of the guy in the sea.
So did I.
But I mean, he grabbed the gun and then it moved to first person with the grappling hook, right? And that seems like it's going to change movement as well. That was really cool. Oh, back to the multiplayer thing. The fact that you can incorporate your own AI into your multiplayer, like you can unlock different AI voices, plus the return of Halo 2 and 3's multiplayer announcer.
When is Snoop Dogg going to be? I'm not scared.
Battlefield comes out in October, Jesse. You can play that.
I will be playing that.
But yeah, Halo Infinite is my number two, and it would have been number one if a certain other game wasn't shown, but we'll get there.
So. Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh,
sorry, Jesse.
I was just going to say, yeah, Halo Infinite was my number one, so yeah, I'm so ready for that. And just, like, I just wanted to touch on one more thing with it, like in the multiplayer too. I just love that it's no more of this vehicles just being parked at your spawn.
Oh yeah,
like now, like stuff drops.
Yeah, the pelicans come in and drop off your things.
And you got the pods from Halo 2 that drop in, so you can re-up your ammo and stuff like that. And like the Razorback, they're introducing that new vehicle so you can store weapons and stuff on it and bring it to the fight. Like I'm so excited for this game.
Yeah.
I've been watching so much of it every single day, dude. I've been watching things and I've been playing Halo 5 multiplayer lately because I'm just so excited to get back into it.
I redownloaded Halo 5 and I actually finally did the new update for Master Chief Collection because I was planning on playing Halo last night, but I fell asleep at 9:48. So, yeah, you know, Logan, I know you tweeted at me and said you would play with me and then I just fell asleep because I had to work yesterday at 5:30 in the morning, so gross.
Did they announce how many players will be in each map on Halo?
I think it's still 4v4 for the base modes. There's an 8v8 mode, and then there's a 12v12 big team battle. No word, no mention of the returning Warzone game type, which is like 24v24 with PvE elements in it.
Yeah.
Which I suspect will come later, but I think they just want to get this basic multiplayer stuff down.
Please bring back Fiesta mode.
It'll be there.
Oh my god, dude, that mode is so fun. That's all I play on 5. It's just chaos, pure chaos.
Yeah,
and I love it.
Austin, what's your number one game?
My number one, and no, a lot of people like to hate on the creative director for these games, but I can't help it. I love Borderlands, and I am so excited.
Yes, I was hoping you were going to bring
Tiny Tina.
I was hoping you were going to bring Tiny Tina.
I'm stoked.
Borderlands, I played a little bit of the first one. I played a little bit of the second one. To me, it's like, it's fine. But for some reason, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands looks so fun and good, and the cast is good. Andy Samberg and Wanda Sykes and who's the other one?
Will Arnett.
Looks so good.
I'm stoked. I'm so excited. This is like, I swear, Godfall was basically just a beta for this, because basically it's taken the, because when they were marketing Godfall as Swarderlands, I was like, why don't they just make a Borderlands with like swords and magic powers and stuff like that? And I was like, well, they probably won't do it. And then here they are, they're doing it. And it's all going to be in Tiny Tina's mind for her Dungeons and Dragons. And she's completely messed up, which makes it even more exciting. It's just going to be a lot of fun. I plan on playing it with my friends. You know, we played through all the Borderlands together, so I cannot wait for this one. I'm super, super excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one that, like, I initially had no idea I didn't really know a whole lot about it, but more recently I've just kind of been looking into it, you know, because I didn't know a whole lot. But, yeah, like, it looks really interesting. It definitely is something that went from me just being like, okay, to okay.
yep.
Yeah.
All I need to know is that it's in the Borderlands universe to get me excited, but this, like, it took it up a notch. I've never been this excited. I wasn't excited about this excited about Borderlands 3. So, like, I'm more excited about this game for some reason, but yeah, I'm super, super stoked.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's all it needs is a change, you know, just a change up, a refresh.
Mm-hmm. And this is how you do it.
What it needed.
Especially because Tiny Tina seems just from like an outside perspective, seems to be like one of the fan favorite characters of Borderlands anyway.
Oh, 100%.
So,
yeah.
And Ashley Birch is back playing her, so that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and give people a real reason to have like a comedy. Like, and humor in it instead of just a robot that, you know, most people didn't find funny or whatever.
Hey,
you know,
there's a robot. Wanda Sykes is playing a robot.
I liked them personally, but I mean, a lot of people just did not seem to you know, be into the humor, and, you know, and it's,
yeah,
it is what it is, but.
No claptrap slander, Minecraft.
Hey man, he's the main reason I bought that poker game.
Oh god,
what was the poker game? That and because Gladys was in it from Portal. So
yes,
Poker Night. Yeah, I think it was right.
Yeah. I bought that same game for the same exact reason. Claptrap and Gladys. I'm like, those are my two of my favorite characters.
Yeah,
I love them.
Wow. Logan, what's your number one game?
Man, Bethesda talked about a lot of great games, but the one that I want to talk about is Party Animals. Nice. The gang beast-like game that it has LAN party written all over it.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for this game.
Why do I feel like you and everybody from LAN party is just going to get real drunk and stream this one night?
Oh, dude, I multiple nights. As soon as it got announced, and we had the article up on the site, I put it in our group chat. I was like, guys, it's just us pretty much written all over. It's like, we do Gang Beasts every now and then. And there's some of the dumbest, funniest streams that we do.
Wow.
Shout out to Big Bobby Fuck, the guy that we play in Gang Beasts.
Wow. Jesse, you said your number one was Halo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine was Halo.
So, yeah. LaRon, what's your number one game here?
Metroid Dread.
Guess we don't need it. Do you have anything else to say about it that we didn't already touch on?
No, not really. Not really. I'm just glad there's a fresh entry. Like I'm kinda shocked that you know, like, well, okay, here's my thing. Like, how come Nintendo didn't pick E3 to start doing the pageantry for the 35th anniversaries for the two franchises this year?
I mean,
it's the middle of the fracking year. Like, what's going on?
Because Nintendo doesn't care as much as its fans do.
Yeah. Nintendo doesn't care about Zelda apparently, because like left you guys hanging for like a hot minute. Like, I mean,
let me tell you what Nintendo did for Zelda's 35th anniversary. Ready? This is what they said. This is what they said. They said, Skyward Sword is what we have for you. And even though we don't have more Switch games coming during the 35th anniversary, they said that. No more Zelda Switch games until after the 35th anniversary is over. Which means if Breath of the Wild gets delayed, you sure as hell know you're getting Twilight Princess and Wind Waker coming from the Wii U.
You shit out of luck.
Man.
But yeah, and then they're like, "Oh, Metroid Dread's here, but we're not going to mention the anniversary." So
yeah, we're not going to mention the anniversary. We're not going to say anything about Prime 4. You know,
they did release a nice graphic for Metroid about how and where you can play these games, and they're all like, they're like, "Oh, well, these ones are on Switch Online, Metroid 1 and 2 or whatever." And then they're like, "Samus Returns is on your 3DS, and then Metroid Fusion's on your Game Boy Advance, so go dig that out somewhere." And then they're like, "Oh, by the way, all these games are on Wii U Virtual Console as well." It's like, you're basically just telling people to go find old consoles or consoles nobody bought.
So, you know, yeah. if I didn't know any better, I'd say Nintendo and Tim Ryan are best friends.
Yeah.
You know whose anniversary did get a shout out though?
Oh, Super Monkey Ball.
Advance Wars. Advanced War. Yeah. Advanced War's got a 20-year.
Super Monkey Ball.
Super Monkey Ball. I cannot wait for that game.
They said that shit right on Nintendo Direct. Super Monkey Ball celebrating its 25th year anniversary this year. they said that right on the Nintendo Direct.
After Metroid, by the way.
And I was like, Metroid and Zelda fans dying of fire.
Pretty much. We're just gonna throw your hopes and dreams into the volcano like we did that Smash character.
I mean, you know what though? Like, a fresh new Metroid title is better than I expected, because I was like, oh, they're just gonna port Samus Returns and call it a day.
That's what I thought they were gonna do. I'm like, I'd be fine with that, but like a new Metroid game would be better.
I don't even know why I still have my 3DS plugged in.
Yes, you do.
I mean, well.
Yes, you do. Because here's mine. Here's mine. It's dead. Cause...
I have mine in my bed drawer, and it really never gets used anymore.
Mine just got turned on a couple of days ago because I reloaded freaking Monster Hunter Stories 1 on it.
You did. Of course, Monster Hunter.
I was surprised Monster Hunter Stories 2 wasn't on your top three.
I mean, we already knew I was excited for that. We already knew that. Yeah. And besides, Capcom, they played some shenanigans on us this year. They played some shenanigans on us. Who was the other company? Bandai Namco. Like, man,
why did Capcom even have a conference?
Right. Yeah.
They had DLC for Resident Evil 8 that they had no idea what they were doing for. They're like, oh, here's more updates for Monster Hunter, which we could have released in like a trailer or a blog post. Here's Ace Attorney, which five people care about, and then esports, which Logan, I guess, would care about. But
here's my theory about the Resident Evil 8 DLC. They thought that Resident Evil like Reverse was going to be the only DLC that they would have to worry about for RE8, and that was it. because they're like, yeah, like we heard your outcry, your outpouring of love for our Resident Evil 8, so we're working on some DLC for you. Like, you should have been thinking about that like as the game was releasing. Mm. Yeah, and then Bandai Namco, like.
It was not great.
Like, why didn't y'all just do like your buddies Konami and like, hey, we have nothing, so we're not going to be here.
You could do Take-Two instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, say what you will about Take-Two. like David Lasby and I, we were riveted to that, because like that was some really informational stuff. Oh, and by the way, for people who are out there listening and are like, why did Take-Two do that, and why was there like a women in games panel and all that stuff? Like, every convention you go to has this stuff, but you guys are always worried about the physical content and stuff, so you never check it out. You know, every convention has it. Whether it's an anime convention, whether it's San Diego Comic Con. All that stuff. Every convention has that stuff, but you only worry about what you can get your hands on, what swag, you know, you can bring home. Mm-hmm. So, and by the way, don't bash Jennifer Hale, because she hosted the hell out of that Women in Games freaking conference.
Who's bashing Jennifer Hale?
I'm just saying, because you know some misogynistic, you know, mofo who was all up in my mentions when I made my my Aloy post, you know, is probably like, what's all these women doing here? You know how.
What are these women doing in my video games?
They're saving.
I want to know what he thinks about Rivet from Ratchet and Clank.
Like, who, me?
No, the guy that saw it.
Oh yeah.
He's like, why isn't Rivet wearing more makeup?
Why can't we see this animal's boobs? Why aren't they hanging out?
Show me your titties.
No, trust me. He was. That's the guy's outrage because of the fact they flipped the switch and made a female the main character for a game that's traditionally been a male character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. All right. Well, my number one game was Breath of the Wild 2. They showed a quick trailer for it. They showed off some new powers. They showed off some story elements, which still are just like, I don't really understand what's going on. But I really love that game, Logan. I know you say you don't get it, why everybody loves that game. Right. And like, I think that game is It's far from perfect, right? Like, I don't like the degradable weapons. I miss the dungeons. I thought the divine beasts were probably the worst parts of the game, right? Yeah. But, like, I don't know. There's something about that game that was really just... I don't know what it was about that game.
It was more about the world, in my opinion. Like, I liked everything. Like, just exploring the world. That's all I cared about in that game, honestly.
Yeah. I just... You know, that game did a lot for me that Nintendo games have, like, I don't really know how to explain it. But anyways, just the reason why this game got me excited was, like, the new powers that they showed, like the weird, I'm going to swim through this rock portal thing was really cool. I thought, you know, how they kind of evolved the world, right, where it's clearly the same map, but there's like a sky world and we're probably going to go underground for a little bit, right? Like, there's new sections of the world that weren't there in the first game. There's, you know, probably going to be dungeons, it looks like. It does make me kind of sad that Zelda might not be playable, which I thought for sure they were going to allow us to switch between them. At this point, or maybe like we play as Zelda underground and we play as Link in the sky or whatever. I'm just really excited for more Breath of the Wild. I pop that game in still from time to time and just run around the world and kill stuff and get rupees and try to upgrade some stuff, even though I'm not doing anything with it. It's just that game was special to me when it came out, and I'm ready for more. So,
very cool.
Same. Are you, because I was listening to the Nintendo Direct while I was driving home, and so I wasn't really watching it. And they were talking about, like, this is our Zelda information. And then I was listening to it. I was like, okay, what is it? Is it going to be Breath of the Wild 2? Is it going to... And then I was like, Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity.
DLC. Age of Calamity.
I was like, this is what they're going to do? This is all they're going to do?
Okay, and so... Yeah. I don't think Age of Calamity is a good game. Like, it's a fine game. It's fine, right? It's a Dynasty Warriors game. Yeah. But the story that they're telling in that game is so ridiculous and fun in a way that, like, Zelda usually isn't. And then the DLC shows Zelda riding a motorcycle, which is so cool. Yeah. Which might be the thumbnail for this episode on YouTube. Just because that's so cool. I love that. That I think it's worth playing through, even if you don't care for Dynasty Warriors games. If you want Zelda story and like a prequel / time jumping, not to get into super spoilers for Age of Calamity, but if you want that kind of story, that game is, it does it. So,
yeah. I wasn't hating. I just thought it would be funny if they ended their direct on DLC for Hyrule Warriors and that was it. That was just the it. They didn't show Breath of the Wild 2. I thought that would have been hilarious. I was like laughing in the car.
We were in the writer's room and I saw the Age of Calamity thing right after they said, well, here's some Zelda news. I'm like, oh my God, if this is it, like, this is hilarious. Like, I was kind of being a troll. I'm sorry. I apologize, but like, I couldn't help it.
I can feel David Lasby's rage right now.
Dude. Oh, dude.
Doesn't he like Hyrule Warriors?
He loves
it's
it.
Dan that doesn't like Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dan doesn't like it.
Dan and I are the same opinion about Hyrule Warriors right now.
Like, I mean, it's not a great game, and it runs like trash in handheld mode, I'm not going to lie. But the story is good. That's what I will give Hyrule Warriors. And the fact that it's a prequel to Breath of the Wild, I'm struggling to play through it right now because I want that story. But, yeah. So we're also getting a Game & Watch, I guess, which is neat.
Without the Zelda Game & Watch game, what's up with that?
I know.
Like, what?
They do, but the when you put it in clock mode, it has the game running in clock mode, but it doesn't. You can't play it, which is. anybody else have anything to say about games from E3? I thought this E3 was okay. I think Ubisoft had a decent showing. I think Xbox and Nintendo pretty much carried what people thought was good. Outside of that, so.
Really, it was just Xbox, Nintendo, and the indies. Mm-hmm. Like, Devolver and all the indie showcases I really liked, but everything else I didn't care for.
The PC gaming show was freaking awesome.
There's some great games on there. I'm excited.
Yeah, there was some good stuff on there.
With the rumors going around today, EA Play, July 22nd, I better see some Dead Space.
It's not going to be Dead Space. It's going to be like, I don't know, Ultima 6.
I'm not keeping my hopes up for Dead Space. I'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Dead Space.
It's
man.
Dead Space.
Everybody wants
it's
it.
Dead Space.
Everybody
Dead
wants Space. It. Everybody
wants I,
it.
I can't be but so excited
it's
though.
It's
gonna
be Crisis.
Like I gotta
make Crisis
right, 4. Right.
They
keep remastering Crisis 1 and they're remastering it again.
Yeah, EA's actually not again. Involved in that though.
Oh,
yeah, Crytek.
Well, yeah, they're not even pushing forward or anything. Uh-uh. Like, do they not own the rights for it?
They don't own the IP. Crytek does. They're publishing it themselves. They own the publishing rights to the original games, which is why they're on that EA Play service, but these new ones are all Crytek.
Gotcha. So.
All right. Well, this has been another episode of the Boss Rush Podcast. I want to thank everybody for watching and or listening. Remember, you can find all of our shows on our YouTube channel, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and your other podcast services of choices. I want to thank Logan, Jesse, Austin, LaRon for joining me tonight. Austin, where can we find you?
You can find me at PlaceAustin on Twitter. And you can find all the other information in the pinned tweet.
Jesse?
You can find me almost everywhere as PhantomNXS.
Logan?
At Logan Gorkins.
LaRon?
Social media, Exodus 803, EXODUS 803, twitch.tv/Exodus 803 as well. Austin and I, Tuesday night, we are back for another episode of the Crossroads PlayStation Podcast Show. And also that Exodus 803 is my YouTube handle as well as almost all my gamer tags. So there you go.
And you can find me at I am CoreyNHT on Twitter. You can find me on Nintendo Pal Block. You can find me on Tower Casuals Destiny Podcast. You can find me hopefully returning to Arsenal X to talk about some Xbox stuff. And I think that's gonna do it. I want to thank everybody for watching and or listening. Follow us on Twitter at Boss Rush Network. Follow Boss Rush ENT. Follow Boss Rush Podcast. Like, subscribe, share, rate and review wherever you consume us. And until next time, we love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Take care.